بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. We ask the brothers and sisters just to remain behind for 5 minutes. We can give the translation of the khutbah, of the advice that was given by Sheikh. Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving in the open khutbah is that was done in the very same way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bearing testimony to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the finality of prophethood of the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his wondrous salutations upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his pure wives, his companions, and those that followed him. Thereafter, Shaykh began by giving advice and asking you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah, O you people who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa qulu qawlan sadida, and when you speak, speak clearly, do not be ambiguous, be straightforward. Says our Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this of taqwa, of piety, is something that he has given to all the previous nations and to us as well, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. Thereafter, Sheikh Saleh says that the best of language, the best of talk, the best of conversation is that of the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sayings of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, the hadith that is authentic, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Mu'adh and says, Ya Mu'adh, this glorious, this youth, this sahabi, this person that was dearly beloved and close to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins by saying, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, I love you. I am close to you and I am happy with what you have done. And he says, Ya Mu'adh, I advise you that at the end of every salah, do not forget but to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Firstly, in the explanation of the hadith, why does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ya Mu'adh, I love you. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. For the reason that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was a person that feared Allah. Secondly, he was a person that abided by the laws and the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was, as we say, on sunnah. He was strongly holding on to the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I love you, and in the very same way our love as well must be primarily for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see a person that he is close to the sunnah, that he is a person that loves Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he hears the laws of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepts it immediately, then we would love that particular person. We do not place our love on people just because he is wealthy or because he is famous. But our love needs to be based on those people that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that regard, we despise and we hate those people or those groups that wish to cause disunity amongst the ummah. So we love for Allah and we love because they have the correct characteristics of what Allah expects from his believers. And we hate those people that have got the opposite characteristics. And with regards to the taqwa, to the piety, and to us bringing the ummah together, there is no difference, or we should not differentiate a person on his color, on his race, on his nationality, on his financial standings. The only thing, and this is the standard put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that person that has got taqwa. That person that is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on this taqwa, this common point, then we need to love each other, to respect and cooperate with each other as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaykh repeats, loves Mu'adh radiallahu anh, not for other material benefit, but he loves Mu'adh radiallahu anh because he was a person that was close to Allah, a person that was on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was, if we put it in this way, a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you've got a friend of Allah, when you become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever wages war against a friend of Allah, a wali, Allah wages war against that person. In another hadith, how do we become a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that after the farad actions, when a person involves himself in obligatory actions, then this makes him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises him that when this person becomes a wali of mine, a friend of mine, then he would see the way I would see. That is, he would only see good. When he speaks, he would only speak good. When he decides, he would only make a decision according to the commandment of Allah. And then Allah says that, and when that person asks from me, I would not refuse him, I would give him what he requests from me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves a person, understand this is not a small matter. This is indeed a very great matter. When we know that Allah is our creator, our sustainer and our cherisher, and we know we are beggars and slaves in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing more than that. We come down to Allah and here the creator, this majestic creator of ours, begins to love us and likes us. And then Shaykh says it, with regards to our wali, what are the characteristics of a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we see how they dress? Do we see what is their financial standing? Do we look at their tongues, if the language comes out bookery? No, we go back to the Quran and we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Ala inna awliya Allah. Verily the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That is, they have got no fear, neither have they got any worry. They are guaranteed or they are promised by Allah for success in this world and the next world. And who are these people? Alladhina amanu. Those people that believe and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just with the tongue, but totally with your actions, with your heart, you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kanu yattakun. When they were in this world, they were people that feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know we have said it many times, the definition of taqwa is to create a boundary between you and the disobedience of Allah, and to make yourself and remove the boundaries between yourself and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we speak of a wali, we find that a wali is someone, and this is the most important aspect, it's not like we have mentioned one that has got beautiful clothes, etc. But a wali is a person, when it comes to his belief, his aqidah, it is totally in conformity to what Allah expects from him. It is a person that follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it is time for salah, you would find him reading salah. He's not someone that claims, and a wali is someone that would not stand up and say, oh brothers and sisters, I am the wali of Allah. Many times and most of the times we do not know who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be a beggar on the street. It could be a business person. A person famous for his business and wealthiness, but only between him and Allah, or Allah knows that this is someone that is close to me, this is my friend. So we cannot see with our eyes and just judge by a person from his garb or from his outward actions that this is the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A wali, again, she stresses, is a person that takes true iman in Allah and follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is something that we should all strive for, because to be put under the definition of the friends of Allah, it is something extremely great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says in the Quran, and this is the message that we have got, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Again saying that the only differentiating factor between ourselves and the factor that we should look forward to and to be jealous of, if I say as well, is that of taqwa, that of piety, and this is the only characteristic that would apply or is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, when you love each other for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does it just stop there? Firstly, as taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would go to the person and tell him, I love you, inni uhibbuka fillah. Verily, I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let this person know it. This is from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, you would not just leave it there. When you see this person has got a difficulty, you would assist him. When he requires advice, you would give him advice. If you have got knowledge, you would give him the knowledge. If you have the Quran, then this person wants to learn, you would go and teach that person as well. So it is not just enough to say I love you, but it is something that you need to cooperate in goodness when you come with regards to showing your love for your fellow Muslims. Thereafter, the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that after you make the salam, when you complete the salah, Shaykh says you say astaghfirullah 3 times, you seek repentance from Allah 3 times. Thereafter we say the dua that I'm sure majority of them know, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, until the end. And thereafter you say this dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik. Oh Allah, assist me on your remembrance. Wa shukrik, and on me being grateful to you. Wa husni ibadatik, and to worship you in the way that you wish me to worship you. So Mu'adh, whoever, just 1 second. Thereafter Shaykh says, when we speak of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when we look at this hadith, it is something, a companion, a glorious companion that has linked us to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not just look at the message of the hadith, it is just words for us to put into our life. Look at it as a link between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ourselves. And who is this Mu'adh radiallahu anhu? And from which group does he come from? He comes from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for those people that wish to seek fault with the companions, that wish to swear them and curse them, what they actually want to do is to break the link between you and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means break the link between you and the sunnah, you and the Quran. That is the main motive, is for them to destroy your religion. Because if you remove the companions and you take away their authenticity and the great standing, that means you do not have any link to an authentic religion, that means you do not have a religion. So we need to be extremely careful, and we need to respect the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In how many verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is pleased with them. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of the bay', the pledge of allegiance under the tree, before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well says that He is pleased with those people. So we need to respect them as it is. And then with regards to ala dhikrika wa shukrik, like we have mentioned, we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst the many favors that Allah has granted us is that of Islam. Understand the difference. Allah has chosen us that we are to be saved from the fire of hell. So we need to be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, وَقَلِيرُ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, that you find the true grateful servants of Allah are very few in number. So we need to be grateful that Allah has selected us. Then the meaning of حُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ, Allah subhanahu, many people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways. But Ya Allah has defined, as in the Quran as well, that ibadah has got certain conditions. And if these conditions do not apply, your ibadah is not accepted. And if your worship is not accepted, then what is the worth doing it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says husni ibadatik, there are two conditions. One is that a person is sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes back to our founding principle of La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with our salah, whatever it may be, we need to ensure that it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns in the Quran, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ, that if you are going to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then understand that يَحْبِطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presses delete on your actions. It's got absolutely no worth. It was just for you, actions moving up and down, or stayed away for food, etc. But it does not have any worth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second aspect of our belief, وَمُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not mean that we just utter it and it is sufficient for us. But it means for you to submit to the to the way of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do what he has instructed, to abstain from what he has prohibited you, and for you to worship Allah in the way that he has shown you. Understand, if you decide to worship Allah in a manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not taught you or not shown you, then it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the hadith of Aisha radiallahu an, that whoever brings in an action, innovation in our religion, then فَهُوَ رَدْ, it is totally rejected. If it wasn't from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in conclusion, in the first khutbah, the Shaykh makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good in this particular world and in the year after. And let us be able to be made from those people, and especially we come onto the sunnah, and to drink from the well of Kawthar from the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to grant us the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to empower us and to teach us and to give us the knowledge so that we may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala husni ibadatihi, that is in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us to worship Him, that is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second khutbah, Shaykh again comes and says husni ibadatihi is not just this, but when we come for salah, for example, it is not something that should be hasty. You need to come in a relaxed manner. You need to have full concentration, understanding that you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not going to do this, then your actions are incomplete, and we fear then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reject it. The aspect with regards to our actions, do not bring anything that would destroy your action. And particular Shaykh points on two particular aspects. The first one is that of riya, of show, that you're doing it to show other people, to show, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves that particular person that has assigned, because what you're actually doing is assigning partners to Allah. You're doing a little bit for Allah and a little bit for someone else, and you're putting that person on the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That people may see you perform salah, know that you are very generous and give out charity, etc. Another aspect that Shaykh speaks about that do not destroy your action is that of dhulm and that of oppression. Whether it be to people that are under you, in whatever aspect, an employer to the employee, a person in charge of a department to the relative people under that, the father of the household, the family members, the children, etc. And one particular point that Shaykh stressed upon with regards to oppression to ladies. Understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed an entire chapter in the Quran titled the chapter of ladies, of women. But it's not mentioned in the Quran the chapter of males, showing that they are deserved, they are the weaker link in the community, and we need to look after them. We need to respect them, whether it be their wealth, whether it be their life, their dignity, all this, we need to defend it. And we need to treat every lady in our society as we would treat our daughters, our wives, our mothers and our sisters. We need to look after them. And with regards to your wives as well, Sheikh says how disgusting it is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that in the day you ill-treat her and at night you wish to seek satisfaction from her. This is indeed not a man. We do not call this person a male. He is an animal. He is not someone that belongs, that you abuse your wives during the day and at night you seek to comfort yourself with them. And to such an extent, Islam has given rights to ladies that when we look at the khutbah of Eid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the general khutbah to the males and the females. Thereafter he left the mimbar and went to the ladies' side. And he addressed them directly, showing that they have got a special place in Islam. Shaykh says, with regards to your wives, in what is permissible, do not be strict with them. Be lenient with them. Advise them. Do not stop them if they want to do something that is permissible. Allow them to do. Do not scold them. But what is prohibited, obviously you are answerable to Allah. On that you need to stop your family members from doing. And do not, Shaykh again, I mean, completed to say that you are not a man if a person is going to ill-treat your wife in particular. And then Shaykh completed to making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general.